HD Smartcast. आप सुन रहे हैं HD Smartcast और ये है Fever FM Production.
Hi, my name is Tuvi Ghosh and this is Mera Wala Grief, a podcast for anyone dealing with loss. I recently lost someone very close to me. I'm a radio presenter, a film critic, basically someone who's never short of words. And yet when it came to expressing myself, to talk about death, loss and grief, kuch samajh hi nahi aa raha tha, shabd hi nahi the. In this podcast, every week, I speak to someone who has gone through this pain. Kehte hai na, jis pe beetti hai, wo samajh sakta hai. और चाहे कहीं हम सबको लगे कि बहुत पर्सनल है मेरा वाला ग्रीफ, येट इट्स यूनिवर्सल. इट्स समथिंग एवरीवन गोज थ्रू एंड ट्राइज टू डील विद इन देयर ओन वे. थ्रू दीज कॉन्वर्सेशंस वी ट्राई एंड डीकोड ग्रीफ एंड व्हाट डज इट रियली मीन टू लिव आफ्टर द लॉस ऑफ अ लव्ड वन.
Finality of death is something that a lot of us find very hard to cope. The stubbornness with which a loved one is taken away from us, at least in the physical form. Today on the show, I have a very special guest. I have Shutapa Shikdar. She is a well-known writer, producer, and the wife of, I'd say, one of the finest actors of our generation, one of the finest actors ever, Irfan Khan. Shutapa Di, thank you so much for agreeing to do this. And the reason is somewhere, even now, it's difficult to imagine we're living in a world where Irfan is not there. He continues to live on with his work. Every time you hear a song he's in or see a little bit of him in a film, and your head tells you he's not there, but it's very difficult for the heart to accept it. He is loved by all, and it's still very tough. But as someone who spent such a long time with him, somebody who was closest to him, how have you been coping up?
Thank you, Stuti, because I think grief just now has become like a community disease because of the COVID. Yeah. And it's, you know, I was not talking to anybody about grief, but I just thought probably so many people have lost so many people in this 1 year that talking to each other perhaps brings some kind of strength and solace. So I decided to speak to you about this because it is, grief is personal and grief is community, right? I mean, I might not know your father personally, but I can feel the grief you went through, you know, when you lost him. So, you know, it's like a seesaw. First, let me tell you that I don't know whether your podcast is in English or which language should I follow.
No, please, there are no restrictions, because I actually feel that, you know, it's difficult to talk about grief in a language you're not comfortable in. So whatever, Hindi, English, even a little bit of Bangla is absolutely fine.
Yeah, because, you know, my language has become a very, like, you know, it's strange. And sometimes I do feel that, you know, I have, I already almost lost my root, because, you know, in Bengalis, we speak only Bangla at home. So all till I married Irfan, I was speaking was Bangla, and suddenly it became Hindi and half English, and with kids it's more English. So, you know, so I almost always had this uprootedness, and suddenly I'm uprooted again of a language I was you know, comfortable with in at home for so many years. So yes,
I think this is a beautiful point you brought up. And I'll tell you why it resonates with me, and I'm sure with a lot of other people. So my mother is a Punjabi and Baba is a Bengali. And since I stayed with my Thamma, I can converse in Bangla very comfortably. And with Baba, it used to be Bangla. Ever since he's gone, it hit me when somebody, after some 2-3 weeks, said something in Bangla. And I don't know, I didn't even know the tears were welling up in my eyes because I heard it after so long. It's a language now I have come to associate with Baba. So, Bangla food, I can't eat. I mean, khete parbo na for some time. I don't know for how long, but yeah, food and language, you associate with a person, you fall in love with it because of a person.
Yes.
And for you, like you say that, you know, your mother tongue might be Bangla, but then the language of love became Hindi and English.
And it's so interesting. Initially, I would translate a very romantic line from Bengali to Hindi in my mind. You know, and then that's became my language of romance, Hindi or English, you know. And now suddenly I'm thinking, what? I mean, I feel so, you know, it's so strange. But, you know, I don't watch TV. I don't have any network in my house. That's been, Irfan was also like that. We never watched TV. Okay, so now suddenly I go to YouTube. And I watch Pakistani serials because I want to hear those words which are connected with him.
Yeah.
You know, so because my kids are urban kids, you know, so they wouldn't use the words like mashallah and inshallah. And I mean, not that Irfan used, but when Irfan met somebody from their family, he would. And I would used to. And I have such funny anecdotes about this culture, which was not mine. And I was like, wanting to be accepted and all, and initially, so you know, I had learned. I don't know. I think I said, you know, Khuda Hafiz for Salaam Alaikum in one or two places, and I was so embarrassed. But now I really mastered it in these 30 years. Now I wouldn't make a mistake, and now suddenly there is no need. So it's a very, very, you know, I don't know how to express. So that's one thing with language. But, you know, the coping of Stuti is that, you know, you tend to take strength in many things. I am still technically spastic. I mean, thrice my son has done it. I don't do too many Zoom meetings or anything. I'm not part of webinars, etc. I couldn't make myself. Even today, my son does all this. Mama, you are waiting in the room or whatever. But at the same time, today, I have opened up to do something I've never done before. So, you know, it's making me in a strange way stronger as well. That I know that they have only me now. So, which kind of makes me gracefully accept and say that, you know, we don't have to really be morose and sad while missing somebody. You know, though tears do flow, every time I meet somebody, tears start flowing. But this is something I can't help.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do feel that, you know, like we read his books together, we read his letters together with my kids. And, you know, there is so much that, you know, you tend to notice now, which you don't notice while that person is there. Sometimes it happens, you know. And then you want to regret. It's up to you. You want to regret or you want to say, wow, I was married to the most smart guy in the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's up to you. And I take it on my thing that life is beautiful and I have to make it beautiful for my sons. And I have to make it worthwhile. You know, because he made it worthwhile when he could physically, you know, till strongly, till everything. He loved nature. He loved life. He loved forests. He loved. He had passion. So I think it's very disrespectful to the departed one when you live without passion.
Yeah.
Because it's not in my hand. And till when am I allowed to live in this planet? So if I am supposed to live, then what is the best way but to fulfill all his dreams, not as his dreams, but to understand the dream and the value of that dream to the universe.
Yeah.
You know, it's more, it's not about your fun streams. It's about how much it adds to the universe.
Yeah. That's how. You know, Shrutapati, you've explained, I think, language no barrier. You've explained, it's so poetically put, so straight from the heart. Thank you for doing this, because I've seen your journey from afar, and you've done it with so much dignity, with so much grace. I'm sure it's tough. I mean it, so I know, but I'm also in awe of the way you're handling things. There's lots to ask you, but I will ask you about this point that you spoke about on the phone with me, where, and I thought that there was so much truth in it, when you said, we women are stronger. I don't know why they say the man takes over. It's always the woman who takes over. I see that strength in my mother. I see that in you. Why do you say that?
Stuti, it is a fact which I didn't know. You know, for everything I would do at home, and, you know, physically men are bigger, longer. So I don't know. I mean, they're stronger, look stronger. So we kind of unconsciously connect that with strength of character. So we ask them, you know, should we go here, or should we go there, or should we take this decision? And then when you look back, you just think that, you know, I did, in my house at least, I did everything from booking the tickets to deciding this and to going to Google. Google was the place, climate, food, etc., etc. So I was doing it without knowing that I could also do it alone. And I would do it with the any adverse situation, with anything, like for my kids. I personally feel Irfan was an extremely good person, but I don't think he would have managed like I'm managing, for sure and sure and sure. That, because he also told me once that, you know, because somehow I always used to, you know, tell him that, you know, I just wish I die first. That's all I wish. And he would like get very shocked, and he would say, are you mad? I won't live even 24 hours after you die. I just would not be able to. And you have sons, what do you mean? And he said, I don't care. Everybody takes care of themselves. But that's, I think, a womanly thing, that we know how to take. We know how to not rock the boat. We know how family comes first and person comes second. It's very strange, but that's how we are trained. You know, suddenly when you lose somebody, you become like, okay, we'll take care of you. You know, come, we'll take care of you. But I've realized in this situation, since it's also a nuclear family here, and his family is in Jaipur, my family is in Delhi, that there was a situation I had to manage 50 things, from banks to this, to this, to this, to this. And I mean, I'm not embarrassed to say it, that, you know, I did it with great strength, without falling, without saying, Nani, I am today very sad and I can't decide which school my child should go to. No, I was sad, but I decided which school my child should go to. The form has to go today. So I think women... I don't know why women are told that, you know, they are weaker. I think they are much, much stronger than men. Much stronger. And the best part is, the only thing is that we do it as a chore, which shouldn't be. Like, I should not be forced to do anything. And I should be doing it with love and care, and even accepting myself as an individual and a person. You know, that I should not say, ki gatpuri, I am doing the farm because Irfan's dream. Yes, it is Irfan's dream farm, but I should equally love to sit under that mango tree and enjoy sitting under the mango tree. You know, so that's what I feel. That's where it's a gender, it's been made into a gender issue. I think women are much stronger, and they should not be looked upon as helpless single person once their, you know, husband leaves them or anything. They're not helpless. I'm not helpless. I'm helpless emotionally. But I'm not helpless otherwise. I don't think I need any man to go to a panchayat or go to a registration office or to you know, yes, I understand that education makes a big difference.
Gives that agency.
Yes. And that's why I feel that we should really help in our country to make women more educated in rural areas and everywhere, you know. It's important.
No, you're right. You're right. Because I think women are therefore naturally nurturers. And if you are a nurturer, it means you take in a lot. You take in those punches and you have to be stronger. You're very right in that. Abhi aapne ek baat ki about how you would talk and say, main pehle jaungi. And he said, I can't take it. Shutabadi, is one ever truly prepared for a person going away?
No. Never ever. Because in spite of the fact that he was, diagnosed with an advanced stage of neuroendocrine cancer, and but I fought, and he reacted to the chemo very well. And then, you know, it was very nice, and we were going, and it came back, and then he came back, and we again started fighting. And then, you know, it was... That's what I tell myself. That's what I tell Babil, my elder one. That, you know, if you tell me ki Baba was prepared, I said he was prepared to see that death exists in life. But I don't think even, forget me, even he was not prepared.
Yeah.
You are never prepared. You are still, we were still making, he was weak, and we would always take it as a temporary thing. You are weak right now, you know. And we will be fine. We will plant trees. We will make sketches of all the trees we'll plant, films to do with Babil, etc. Who would plan so much if you were so sure that, you know, you are only, you know. No, I don't think. And even when the London doctor told me, ma'am, you should be mentally prepared. And I called up my Indian doctor and I said, you know, he's telling me to be mentally prepared. Mentally prepared for what? I am not mentally prepared. And she said, you come back just now. And we came back. And I got my last 6 months of treatment in India. And he was improving. And it was just that he succumbed to the infection. Then, you know, it's in the end of it, maybe our journey together was this much. And maybe my journey onward is meant to be alone. And meant to be alone, not depending on anybody to do whatever needs to be done with grace and with, you know, with, and I should want to, and I should be able to kuch kare aisa jiske liye matlab koi matlab ho is duniya mein,
koi matlab ho
is duniya mein aane. Aur wo shayad family, jab main Irfan the to main itni zyada unke sath 24/7 rehti thi, even before the disease, like his film scripts, this, that, I had really taken a backseat professionally, and also taken a backseat with what I want, what I like, what I, you know, it was just that I am that kind of a person. So I would always ask, you know, the food was to made, not he said it, that's the beauty is it, that he never told me ki yehi khana banao aaj, but I always made the food he loved. So the menu was, so, you know, after ages I made Bengali food that day. Because earlier I used to think, "Arey yaar, akele aadmi le kya alag khana banayenge?" But now I'm akele. I'm eating whatever I wish to eat. And then, but the point is that what my lesson in this grief is that it really is, and it gives a hell of a lot of support to me to respect life. See, even if Irfan 2 days ago also. Maybe perhaps he knew he went into kind of coma, you know, and that his organs started failing. So not even once did I see anything which was not gentlemanlike, you know, which doesn't respect even the ward boy or the nurse or anybody. So, you know, that is very important, that what I have learned from another person who's gone away, which is good, which is, you know, which is good. And I must be able to do that. Is what I feel is very important to kind of get away from the grief. Because, you know, even if I write, I just actually just 4 or 5 days ago, I just again picked up writing. Just, I couldn't, you know, everybody kept calling, but I said, you know, I can't, my mind is like, so when I finally did, you know, the first 4 lines I wrote, and after that, I remembered him sitting there and saying, ki, "Arey yaar, Shukra, हाँ यार कौन बोलता है इस लैंग्वेज में, ये तो बड़ा फिल्मी लग रहा है. यू नो आई जस्ट यू नो रिमेंबर हिज क्रिटिक एंड देन विदाउट हिम बीइंग देयर आल्सो आई काइंड ऑफ वर्क ऑन इट एंड थिंक या दिस इज नॉट राइट, दिस हैज टू बी इन हाफ सेंटेंसेस हाफ वर्ड्स व्हाटएवर व्हाटएवर. सो इट्स नॉट अबाउट फॉरगेटिंग दैट पर्सन, इट इज अबाउट टेकिंग देम अलोंग विद यू इन योर जर्नी. It's very important. You can't, you know, forcefully forget them. That will be very grievous for a long time. So it's very important. Shate shate jawa, so what, the physical presence is not there. Is what? It was very hurtful and painful. Shuru mein
to bahut
painful. Bahut zyada painful. Because of his disease. Especially for 2.5 years, he wouldn't let me go even out of the room for 1 second. Like Babil would sometimes say, she has to take a leak or no. You know, so it's like that. But he wouldn't know. So, okay, he would say, but he said, jaldi jaldi aana na, how will, whatever time will take. You know, so for, you know, it's very strange. But I feel bad for him rather than me.
Yeah.
I just feel, I don't know how he's coping up, how he's managing, because I don't know anything about afterlife. I don't know what he's going through, what he is, you know, one day I dreamt of him. I rarely dream, my elder one dreams every day. I don't really dream every day, but I dreamt one day that we are playing, four of us playing, and then he just leaves and I'm why is he going? Where is he going to? My elder one. My elder one is also with me, my younger one. And he suddenly turns and smiles. And with a smile, he has tears in his eyes. So maybe it's a manifestation of my subconscious that I feel that he's unable to manage without me. Could be. I don't know. But I really feel that we must not grieve to make for the departed to feel that, you know, they are not grieving. They are happy. It's very important. I'm not saying happy as in jubilant, but I think they should feel they've got a purpose in life. They have not gone waste. Just because I left, they shouldn't go waste. And I think that gives a lot of solace even for the departed person's soul. So he would feel happy.
Listening to you, Shudhapai B, I just feel more than being married to each other or just lovers, you both clearly were soulmates. The way you continue to talk about him, even when he's not present in physical form. And I see a lot of a reflection of that in my parents' relationship as well. And you know, the way my father was dependent on my mother and how he couldn't let her go even for a minute, and how my mother changed herself, transformed herself completely, you know, from learning the language, learning how to cook, to, you know, like you said, your nothing was said.
Your mother can speak Bangla?
Fluent Bangla. Okay. And if she wears a tate and shadi, she looks
big. I love your mom.
So yeah, you know, that you, nothing is said, and yet it's all from the heart. It's a language of love, literally. When you know, you of course miss Irfan and you miss him in a way nobody else will. But here's also a man who meant a lot to others, right? He has his fans, he has his lovers, he has people who admire him, who looked up to him, continue to do so. And so when such a person goes away, then the question also is of carrying on that person's legacy. Because he means a lot more, you know. He has a body of work. He represents certain values, certain things. Especially, you know, since and I know Babil is an extremely sensitive person. He posts quite regularly. How have you been coping as a mother, you know, as a parent to Babil? So that he doesn't feel burdened, because a lot of times we also go through through this phase where we are unsure of whether we are doing the right thing by that person or not. How have you managed that bit? Because of course Irfan had a personal side, Irfan as a husband and as a father, but the Irfan Khan that everyone admires and looks up to. How do you strike that balance?
It's difficult. That's the most difficult part I felt. You know, I felt that I have also forget his legacy, and because of his legacy, I have to carry forward an image.
Yeah.
Which, Suti, I'm not an image person at all.
Yeah.
Okay, I am really a whatever I am, I am. So even
and how does one grieve within an image? I mean, yeah. How does one feel anything?
Yes, yes. So, you know, and he also hated it.
Yeah.
So he hated it. So it was easier than imagine the situation that we had since he's gone, the COVID situation continues. So we didn't have a formal, anything of that sort. So, and he wouldn't have liked it also. So I was planning with some few friends to have a, you know, not a, like a grieving ceremony, but a remembering ceremony of singing songs and poems and he, you know, things like that. That is bound to happen sometimes. But about parenting, Suti, is the most difficult part I am facing right now. That's the part because, you know, Irfan didn't manage anything at home. So I was the one who took decisions for everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But he managed parenting. So he, whenever there is a crisis, and he was very good with parenting, very liberal, but very good with parenting, extremely liberal. So his sons were his best friends, especially my elder one. So I don't think I'm still able to fill that because everybody have different personalities, you see. I can't become a fan. I think that's the most, I still am groping and trying to fill that place. But, you know, I think his son, especially Babil, is unable to get over the fact that there is no Irfan in their life. And so hence, you know, beyond the point, again, there are these commas and full stops. And then I have to tell him that you chose a career and you need to go ahead. And also what is very sad also and whatever, he is too young to carry the burden of his, you know, somehow incidentally he chose acting. Profession as an acting. Now, it's very difficult for him to carry that burden at this young age where he should actually concentrate on his skills.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the sad part. Like, instead of constantly questioning yourself because people are saying you are, you know, the Irfan Khan's son, so you need to be, and with him, it's not about a star's son, it is about a great actor's son. So that's a much more challenging job. Great star ke liye fit hi kya body bana lo aap horse riding kar lo music dance classes laga lo but how do you get what Irfan Khan had in you know after 15 years he started career with a child who's just beginning his career and it's I feel that's the most sad and unfair part
and the difficult part to overcome
part on you know and I am helpless to it because there will be trolls and there will be people comparing and there will be which I feel is the most difficult part I don't know how to save him.
Yeah.
I really do feel I wish I could save him that you are you and your journey is your journey we will be respectful to his legacy at the extent of that you can't do things which you know, he wouldn't have done in terms of films and all that. But you are an individual. You
individual,
have a different skill set.
And Irfan would have wanted that.
That's exactly. That's exactly. So that's the most difficult part for me. And I just hope that world is a little more kinder to him. Because, you know, because as is, he's dealing with grief. He's dealing with this. He's vulnerable as is. And suddenly, if, you know, people just jump onto him to judge him. See, judge him as an actor of a 22-year-old individual is absolutely fine. But to judge him as, ki, are, wo to itne achhe the, ye to, that's where is my fear is. So that's what.
Shrutapati, as a caregiver, you will be there fun, helping him get better. Like you said, he was responding to treatment and then what happened? After that, after he went away like that, and like you said, nobody is ever prepared. I tend to do that, that you you keep replaying everything and keep second guessing yourself and keep checking if what you did was right or wrong, if this treatment at this time at this doctor's place was, did you go through that? Because that's also very futile, and yet I couldn't stop myself from doing
it. It is impossible, because you know, I just they just buried him, and I'm sitting in the night, and I'm sitting in front of my huge, I have had a separate cupboard for his medical files. And I am looking at, and I am comparing again, all the blood tests, all the things, from day one. And I'm telling myself, see, I'm very this way. I'm saying, what is the use? But I'm helpless. I'm helpless. I'm saying, oh, should I have listened to the Swedish doctor, or should I have, you know, gone to US like everyone suggested? It was like madness. And then my doctor in Bombay, Shevanti, she just kind of, you know, she just pulled me up and she just called me and she said, you know, you're being just ridiculous. You did what no one can do. I see patients like every day. That's my job. I'm an oncologist. And I'm telling you, and believe me, and I've told you, even he was alive, that you have been almost like a doctor in his life. And
we become half doctors while treating our patients. Caregivers become that. Yeah.
Because the hospitals sometimes, you know, make clerical mistakes. But I would make all circles for her meeting next day. You see this, and she would look at her assistant and say, you know, you're dealing with Chutappa, remember that. Double check your reports every time. So she wouldn't, but even today, Suti, I just can't get over the idea that this is the first time he went to the hospital alone. And I was stopped by the doctor. He's just an infection. He'll be back home in 3-4 days. And since you were the sole caregiver, don't go because you might catch COVID. And it's just because of COVID. And in these 2 years, it's the first time he went alone and he didn't come back. So it's something I just can't do. I cannot never ever forget this. You know, my son always says, Mama, you are making it a mental block. But it's not that. It's just, but why did it happen only this time? I always question myself. That I know there was a whole bunch of good doctors looking after me. But then I always feel, you know. So that's one thing which, you know, kind of always gets to me, and I just feel. And another thing is, you know, I'm not such a melodramatic person in terms of social grieving. You know, I generally don't howl or something. So in the hospital now, when the doctor said no, and I didn't really howled and screamed and told him not to go. And now today I just question myself if I did it, I, the snob, Chutappa, you know, I abuse myself that, you know, if I would have done it, probably his subconscious would have heard me and would have given a better fight. But he did give a very good fight, very, very good fight. But then it's this personal blames you just can't get rid of. In spite of doing everything, you just can't forget it.
It's been more than a year. You still feel this?
I still feel it. I really feel it, and very strongly feel it. And this is something I need to kind of somewhere. I have to let go of this self blame. I know.
Yeah, head knows, but the
heart can't. Because I just feel, what if that 0.09% if I would have had a chance and I let go because I was, you know, it's like,
you know, there's so much to ask, and you're speaking so much from the heart. I wish we could continue, but there's one thing that I want to ask, which is, a lot of people say that people we love, they don't really go away, that they're there and you have to feel their presence. Right after Baba went away, when people would say this, I'd get very angry, because I was angry because I couldn't feel it. I couldn't feel his presence. Do you feel Irfan's presence?
I would also get angry, when people would dream, like my best friend, my niece, my nephew, my uncle, Tappu, everybody would call me, we dreamt. I did not dream of him. And I was getting so angry that why wasn't I getting his dream? It means he hated. And you know, I would go to this, because in grief, I would hate confusion. He actually hated me, showed something else. Why is he coming into everybody else's dream? And then my elder son is always the comforter, of course. He came up with a wonderful logic. He said, Mama, you know what? He thinks that you are too vulnerable to accept him in his dream. So he's sending you these messages. Because everybody who is dreaming, you know that. He knows that they will call you and tell you the dream. So, you know, so it's because you will prepare. He doesn't want to disturb your sleep. So he would say things like that to make me feel nice. But, you know, initially I did not feel anything, and I went to the exact same like you went to, but then things started happening. So it did happen that, you know, strange things started coincidentally, that, you know, I would miss him and that it would rain or, you know, something like that. So I did get signs and I did feel that.
You talk to him in your head? Do you have conversations with him?
Yes, I do. Even day before, I was talking to him at night, you know, because we have some legal issue in my farmhouse, because this is the first project. I'm doing so many firsts. This is the first project where I was not involved because he wanted to gift me this. Ki tum har project mein involved rehti ho, shuru se, har jagah. Ye tum kuch mat karna. You will open the farmhouse ka chabi with, you know, like a queen. And it didn't happen. Nothing was moving. So finally, I took it over one year before, because when he was getting serious that I wanted to get it built quickly so that he could stay there, you know. But whatever. But then the point is that it's got, suddenly I realized initially it was not involved. So legal issues. I didn't know all this. That's what I'm saying. The woman learned so fast. I don't think men can learn. If they're doctors, they'll only be doctors. I'm not a science student, but I went through all his medical files like a science student. And I was bad. I sucked in some science. And Abhi, right now, I know nothing of architecture, nothing of legal matters, nothing. But I'm doing it. I mean, touch wood, I'm doing it.
Coping is a lot about forgetting and remembering, about nostalgia and keeping memories alive. How soon after Irfan went away were you prepared to see his films, touch his stuff? Was there a phase when you couldn't do it?
I couldn't see his films. Even now I have not seen any of his films. First thing, yes, I saw Pan Singh Tomar after almost a year in Ife.
Okay.
That's the first time. I couldn't. People kept messaging me, sending me clips of his. I did not open them also, WhatsApp. Touching his things, I did. Touching his clothes, I did. Because they were clothes which I... because, you know, in a film you see him, his voice and everything. It was too much for me to take. It becomes so alive suddenly. And then suddenly that feeling that he's not there is very true. But I had to touch something of his. So clothes, yes, I did touch his clothes, because most of his clothes I got fabric from various places. He was a tactile person, you know, so he would want a feel of a very soft one. So by so many years, I knew what kind of things. And I've always been from NSD, I bought clothes for him. So I did, because that is about the association of two people. Film was about him talking to me and he's not there. Yeah, it's a very different thing. That's how. But it took a look. Abhi tak maine nahi dekha. I just saw that one Pan Singh Tomar in Ife. Abhi bhi mere se nahi. I just can't. Because he looks so alive, and the moment he looks alive, then the whole pain of that he's not there becomes much more harder.
Thank you for making me feel like I'm privy to this love story, this forever love story. You know, you've shared such sweet, intimate details. It's a love story that I see unfold even now. I don't think anyone can take his place in your heart. But are you ever scared for yourself? Are you scared of loneliness, of being alone, of not being able to love another person like the way you loved him? What do you feel for yourself?
No, you know, no, it's, I'm not exaggerating it, but it is, I don't think it, a second Irfan can happen ever. I don't know. I don't get scared. I don't get scared that I'll be alone and lonely. No, I really don't. I think I will be a very happy single person. I think I will be very happily living with his memories. But this is what I think. I don't know what will happen after. Right now, not even once that thought has occurred to me. Yes, I do feel when my both the sons are in their rooms closed and, you know, because we used to watch films every day. I do feel very lonely in that sense. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel lonely in terms of that I need another man. No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't. Because the comparison is will be too... And it will be very unfair because I'm so full of Irfan. And so it will be very unfair to even think about it, to compare. Because I will invariably compare it. Mm-hmm. So right now, that's what is my thought process. I don't know about future, but I'm not scared. I don't know. I'm not scared of being single at all in old age. You know, I feel, you know... I don't rely on my sons, or I'm thinking, mm-hmm. they'll get married, the wife, their daughter will know. I know that's for sure. So I have no expectations in that sense. And I'm a very private person. I wouldn't want also them to live like their wives to live like me, mine, or I living like theirs. But I do have few friends who are single and my age, and they're not like single, as in single, not married. Mm. So, yes, I have few friends who we are very close to, and I don't feel that. Maybe one day I will, I don't, not right now. Because right now, like it's rain, it's the monsoon was his favorite season. It's raining, and it is the second monsoon. See, last year was the first, and this one is the second monsoon. And I do miss him. I miss him very bad. But I can't see anybody entering that space.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. That's what I feel. I probably change it right now. No, I'm not scared. I'm not scared. I have like trunks of memories to get along my life.
Beautifully put. I swear, as a companion, a lover, a wife, a mother, a parent, you have, you know, I've just been listening to you, and it's so inspiring, the strength that you have, and yet the acknowledgement that you have of your vulnerabilities. A lot of people, Shrutapadi, would be in a similar zone. This phase, particularly COVID, yes. Phase, wave one, wave two, I don't know how many waves, has forced us to look at life and the fragility of it, about how somebody can just be, you know, snatched away suddenly. Anything that you would want to say to them that will probably in some way can help them become as strong as you are?
I just personally feel that if we just take one day at a time and not think of future, not think of anything, just today. Today, do whatever you can do, because today it is a time, it's a wake-up call for us to be kinder to everybody, to be gentler to everybody, if we can do that much, you know. And, you know, I really feel I can talk to people all night if they need me. You know, it's just that I feel that we need to tell people, some go, some stay, but, you know, the connection is always there.
Yeah.
You just have to kind of, it's like a string. You know, there are a lot of financial issues for some people. It's much more harder. Many people have much harder situation, but
very practical problems.
But emotionally, I feel the best way to combat this entire, you know, pandemic which has come is to just be for each other. Just be for people. Just see one day, I am alive, I am grateful, I am indebted that I did not get, my sons were not positive by the night of it. Just say thank you and call your friends and say you need anything if somebody is something. I think that's the only way to get along. If we can't plan, this is not the time to plan.
Yeah.
You know, this is just be there, be hopeful, be optimistic. You know, it's very difficult to be positive in this sense, but just be thankful that I'm alive today. My sons are alive out there, whoever it is. My family is there and they are alive today. So let's just extend kindness, a little bit of kindness, whichever capacity I can do. Somebody can talk, somebody can, whatever. But whatever capacity, I think it's a wake-up call by nature to all of us that we had become so selfish.
Yeah.
We had become so self-centered and selfish. I think it's time that, you know, some people paid the price like you and me. Some people probably didn't pay the price, but they might have in the third wave. So, you know, we better be just be better person, right? Better human beings, I guess, you know.
Absolutely. I think it couldn't have been put better. Irfan continues to live on through his work, the brilliant body of work that he's left behind. And he lives on in you, in his kids, this connection that you're saying. I think if we manage to forge this, and it sometimes takes time, you know, we all have our process of healing, and you can't speed that up. It's different for different people. But even if the physical form is snatched away from us, we can still have a connection. And you today have shared such precious memories. Thank you so much. There's wisdom. These are lived experiences, and you continue to inspire. Thank you, Shruta Padhi.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you, and please continue. Yeah.
I was just saying that, you know, it's like you rightly put that the grief is different for different people. Like in my house, we three people are grieving in a completely different way.
But that's very true. Yeah.
But the point is that, you know, we must believe that they are there somewhere and they're looking after us. And I do believe Irfan is looking over, and in my weakest time, he would just make everything okay. You know, so
this is love, and this is faith, and like I always say, please take your time, please grieve, and take care of yourself. Thank you, Shruta.
Thank you so much.
You can listen to us on hdsmartcast.com and on other leading audio platforms. Always remember, there's no hurry. It's okay to grieve, so take your time. In case you want to stay in touch with me, you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at @RJSTUTEE or on Instagram at @StutiGhosh. To watch the video of this episode, you can check out the HD Smartcast and Fever FM YouTube channels. We are also present on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. For more podcasts, log on to hdsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se.
Aap sun rahe hain HD Smartcast aur ye tha Fever FM Production. HD Smartcast.